Hello and welcome to the show. This is Walnut Grove Cast. My name is Mark, and I am speaking tonight with Susan King. How are you, Susan?
I'm awesome. How are you, Mark?
I'm doing just as well, if not worse. This is a very exciting episode. This is one that I do not have up on my internet movie database right now, so I'm going to go type that in.
Alrighty.
But if you want to tell us what episode we're going, what episodes that we'll be covering.
I absolutely will. I'm happy to do that. This episode is really the scream heard around the world from parents everywhere about the middle of summer. Back to school, parts one and two.
Yes.
Back to school from season six. And it originally aired September 17th, 1979.
Perfect by, for written, back to school.
Written by Michael Landon. Yes.
Yeah, just in time. Mm-hmm. I guess to launch the fall season of 1979. Big times, big things are happening.
Yes, 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 yes. Absolutely.
This is in a series of episodes that, and I'm going to say this for most of the two-parters, they got played a lot, it seemed. Like, I've seen this episode at least 30 times.
At least. Life. Me too. Now we're going to compete. I saw it 50 times. No, I saw it 60. Yeah, a lot.
But yeah, we definitely saw quite a bit. It's a very fun episode. There's a lot of ups and downs and introduction of characters. And what I like about this particular episode is that it instead of Little House ending on a note of kind of wondering, I wonder what's going to happen, instead what they do is they create the drama right away in the beginning of the season. So
yes.
That you immediately are like, all right, who's this new guy? Who's this new woman?
Mm-hmm.
All of a sudden, Half Pint's a little bit more grown up and things are a little bit strange.
Yes.
And all in all, I enjoy also the overall look of this particular episode. To me, the print is a lot cleaner. This is Little House at its maybe finest and most refined, I think.
Oh, I absolutely agree with you. And really, even season six is my favorite Little House season because there's so many great episodes in it. Family Tree and Cross Connections and, of course, the infamous May We Make Them Proud where Jonathan's wife bites the dust.
Spoiler alert.
Well, but no.
Yeah, if you don't know that, I mean, you shouldn't be listening
Sorry.
To the show.
Right. And then, of course, we go into the Laura episodes of Sweet 16 and He Loves Me Not. And then they start the next season with, you know, the wedding and everything. So yeah, awesome. Awesome.
So I say we jump right into this episode and
alrighty.
Just kind of see what's going on. We do see Albert dressed in his Sunday best for the first day of school. And it's because Albert thinks that the new school marm is going to be, is going to be better looking than Charlotte Stewart.
Right.
Which just is not going to happen.
Yeah, and David Rose with that music again when she turns around.
Now, one of the things, and by the time this episode comes out, we'll have released it, but I had a conversation with Charlotte. She was nice enough to come onto the show. And, you know, when she was written out or left or however you want to say it, it really wasn't, you were saying, a part of the book that really kind of touched you in a bad way, because it was as though it was just done.
Yes.
And she just, I mean, when she told me the story, it was, they wrapped and basically Michael said to everyone, all right, everybody say goodbye to Charlotte. Let's move on. And it was heartbreaking.
You know? Yes, and in her narrative in the book, I just, that's always been a scene that I remembered, even as a younger person watching it. I was very cognizant of the fact that this is Miss, well, she was Mrs. Sims by then.
Yes, the pig farmer's wife.
Right. Like, boing, 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 boing.
And, you know, she was even saying, you haven't even heard the episode yet, so.
No, we were saying, I know, and I can't wait.
I was saying how at least, you know, her her mate was chosen, who ended up being a great-looking guy.
Right.
And she shared a very personal, interesting story about him that
Oh,
That might be an exclusive for Walnut Grove Cast. I can't seem to find the information anywhere else, so that you'll just have to wait.
It's intriguing. Mm-hmm. I can't wait. But yes, I was very cognizant that that was her last scene, and I think I had even said when she's hugging Melissa Sue in that scene, I really got to see wonderful control as an actor because she started to go into ugly cry. I mean, it was she caught herself, but she was really starting to go in. And so, yeah, it was very sad for me, and I'm sure for her as well.
Hmm. You know, I just want to say, I just got a thing on my phone. With the Facebook Walnut Grove Cast, we're getting probably at least 10 people joining a day, it seems now.
Isn't that awesome?
And I just got, I don't know if she listens to the podcast, and I don't know how she found, but Shirley Quinones, if you're listening to this, I'm about to approve your member request. And
right.
You're approved. You're added to the group as
it's
of
official.
Right now.
So, it's official.
So by the time now and when this episode actually gets released, we'll just have to see. The time is ticking. I also introduced an interesting piece of information about the podcast because I'm always working on a new thing with Walnut Grove Cast, and I think that's one of the reasons why it appeals to the people who you know, some of the remaining cast members and are actually willing to come on and speak with us. And this will all have already come out as well with the podcast, but this is going to be the first time I'm sharing this with you. And that's
okay.
Now, right now, this particular episode is a Nelly Palooza because we allowed everyone to vote and we made a cool graphic. Well, the information that I kind of let out was that the next series of shows that we're going to release, it's going to be a Beetle Fest about Miss Beetle.
Oh, how awesome.
So basically, yeah, that's coming next is
awesome.
Just the Miss Beetle episodes because she was so awesome that I thought, why not just dedicate it to her? I actually chose it right on the spot.
That's awesome. The episodes are already clicking in my head. Okay.
Exactly.
That
right.
That yeah.
All right.
You
but let's get.
You know how my mind works.
Right. It's back to school and our minds are wandering. So
that's right.
Let's get back to, yeah, the first clip. So here we go.
All righty.
Nellie's lucky. She gets to graduate today.
What's so lucky about that?
Because when you graduate, you're grown up. You can do whatever you want.
If you're in such a hurry to graduate, just do what Nelly did. Go to Mankato and take the exam.
Hi, Mr. Olson.
Hi, Laura. Albert. Hi, Carrie.
How's it going?
Pretty good. Gonna be finished today, even if Harriet has to beat the workman with a whip.
Still a secret, huh?
Oh, yeah. That's her idea, not mine.
She has everybody in town guessing.
We wouldn't tell. Cross our hearts.
Ah, what the heck. Everybody's gonna know today anyway. Well, it seems Harriet thought that if she had this...
Nails!
I swear she could hear a flea belch a mile away.
So yeah, that basically there's this big secret in the middle of Walnut Grove. It's a big, huge sheep. Where would they get material this big?
I don't know.
It's huge. And so what this does is, so there's going to be some kind of big unveil, big reveal. So we're in the school. I'm sorry, I'm getting my time messed up here a little bit. So Albert basically looks at the teacher and sees that she's not exactly what she had, what he expected. She's
right.
Maybe a little too old for him at the time, or a little too school marmy.
Yes. Yes. So, but he's looking good in that suit. Matthew Labrato, yeah. Handsome little guy in that suit.
And his hair over the ears and everything.
Right.
So, and this basically coincides with Nellie's announcement.
My job is teaching, and your job is learning. If we all do our jobs, we should get along splendidly.
Miss Wilder, I'm so sorry that we're a bit late.
That's perfectly all right, Mrs. Olson.
Uh-huh. Well, Nellie had to have her hair just so for her commencement speech. Oh, you haven't met my son, Willie.
Ah, Mrs. Garvey has told me quite a lot about you, Willie.
I was afraid of that.
Take a seat, darling. Nellie's ready any time.
Certainly. Class, Nellie Olson has taken the township board test this summer and passed with flying colors. So, even though it's a bit unusual, we will be starting the year with a commencement speech. Nellie?
Thank you, Miss Wilder. Fellow students, friends, and others, I will miss this quaint schoolhouse. It has been my second home for many years. But now, I have decided that it is time to get on with my life and seek new horizons.
Good. Maybe she's moving away.
I realize it will not be easy. Life is never easy. It will be a constant challenge and a struggle, but a challenge nonetheless which I am prepared to meet. Thank you.
Oh, bravo!
You know, this also introduces an older, more mature Alison Arngrim. And even
yes,
though she's still the same bitchy Nellie, she's definitely much more mature.
She is. And I was, you know, it was funny on INSP today, they were playing these episodes and I was looking at her clothes and I thought, well, wouldn't they have maybe put her in something a little old? I don't know. I just was thinking that maybe her clothing might've, she looked like she was wearing the same things, but just a little bit longer.
Right. You think it would be a little fancier?
Or? Yeah. Well, yeah. Or just more mature. Right. Well, I guess she was, you know, she was probably what, 17 or so.
Right. But here's the rest of that clip.
Thank you, Nellie.
Miss Wilder, before class resumes, I wonder if Nellie's schoolmates could see her graduation gift.
Well, Mrs. Olson, I really...
Oh, it will only take a moment. And I'm sure that her friends would so enjoy it.
Well... All right.
All right, come along, darling. Come along, children.
Willie, aren't you coming?
I already know what it is. Besides, it's for friends. I'm just your brother.
Spoiler alert, it's a restaurant.
Right. Right. I kind of felt sorry for Willie there. I'm just your brother. Okay.
He couldn't be less interested. Like, he's
right?
Like, I'm fine just sitting here all alone.
Exactly.
So, it's, yeah. So, basically, they gave Nellie an entire restaurant. Nellie has no idea how to cook.
Right.
Has no idea how to run a business. And... I think in a lot of ways it's an unfair thing to throw in her lap. It gets explained a little bit further why they did this, but this is her
22 on mine.
Well, actually, what? This is her first reaction. I have.
Well, come, Nellie, darling. You must see the kitchen. Oh. Oh, have you ever seen a kitchen like this?
And she looks mortified.
And the stove.
Yes.
Have you ever seen such a stove? It's a majestic. It's a majestic stove. Look at her nails. She's absolutely speechless.
Is like,
yeah.
Like, I couldn't be more annoyed right now. Like, it's exactly. Just.
Who's going to do the cooking?
What?
I said, who's going to do the cooking?
Well, darling, whose name is on the window?
Was on the window.
Oh, Nels, please.
Mother, I don't like to cook.
Well, I know, darling, you don't like to cook at home, but after all, this is your own, very own restaurant.
Mother, I don't like cooking. At home or here?
Well, you darn well better start liking it.
Nels! Don't raise your voice!
What do you mean, raise my voice?
on your IDs. I told you to ask first. But oh no, you had to go ahead.
Uh-oh.
Nels, kindly leave us.
Gladly.
Now, Nellie, dear, I want you to understand what it means to have an establishment such as this, what the advantages are in having it. When I first met your father, I had a small mercantile business. Of course, he was quite smitten with me when he first laid eyes on me. But, well, having such a business, well, it rather helped getting married, shall I say. Of course, I realize that there are many young men around Hero Township that have their cap set for you. But maybe they're just shy. Or perhaps they're just afraid that they can't support you in the manner in which you're accustomed. Do I make myself clear, Nellie?
Yes, Mother.
Good. Now, do you like your gift?
Yes, Mother.
Good. Now, are there any more questions?
Yes, Mother.
Hmm?
Who's going to do the cooking?
And the next scene is help wanted cook.
Mm-hmm.
Very funny.
Exactly. And this is one of those places in the writing when we get to the episodes where Percival comes in and Nels explains to Nellie about why her mother built the restaurant. It's as if this conversation never happened. She gets all offended and all upset. And so just one of those things where the writers didn't follow, because here she's just like, yes, Mother, I get it. It's going to help me get a husband. But when Nels tells her later in the Percival episode, she's just infuriated.
Right.
So, yeah. So just one of those little goofy things.
Now, I also want to say that when Charlotte referred to Almanzo, she did refer to him as Almanzo, which I thought was.
Yes.
But I still think that is incorrect. I mean, I just don't. I think it's Almanzo. I just think it's an accent type of thing. That's all.
I did do some deeper research on that since you and I were kind of muddling that around last time. And of course, nobody can absolutely say, but it does kind of lean. The evidence is kind of leaning toward the Almanzo. But I've been calling him for Almanzo for so long, I'm never going to get to the Almanzo place.
Reason why you call him Almanzo is because of this particular scene. Here we go.
Yes.
Oh, Laura, did you want to see me?
No, I thought I forgot something, but I did.
Oh, Laura, this is my brother, Almanzo.
What was that? It was Almanzo.
Yeah.
I just wanted to be 100% sure about this.
I know.
Because it's a TV show.
I know.
That's the record.
I know.
Pleasure to meet you, Laura. My friends call me Manny.
Pleasure to meet you. Manly.
Well, you must admit, it's got a virile ring to it.
I'll see you tomorrow, Laura.
Bye-bye.
Oy vey.
Yeah, and that music that just stopped, that is the Laura and Almanzo theme. It's one of my favorite pieces of music that David Rose wrote. And I actually, in doing research, found out something interesting. Again, don't know if it's true or not, but it said that actually Dean Butler originally auditioned for the role of Adam Kendall.
Really?
Yes, and that they, obviously he didn't get the role, but that they remembered him. And
I see that working, actually.
Do you really?
Yeah, because, you know why? Because he's blonde and Mary's blonde, and I don't picture him being blind. He's too tall to be blind. But blonde, yes.
Yeah, see, and I thought just the opposite. I thought, yeah, too much blonde. There. I thought the exact opposite thing, but apparently they remembered him. And in Dean's remembrances that he's talked about, that he literally took his final exams in college, and 3 days later, he was on the set of Little House. So it was just a huge paradigm shift for him. Just go college, final exams, boom, Little House.
Well, if if all works out with the people that I'm talking to, you could probably ask him yourself in the next couple, like, month or so. So we'll see.
That would be awesome.
But
that would be awesome.
So here's where Laura gets a little sneaky, a little tricky about things.
Mm-hmm.
Because let's call her for what she is. She's a sneak.
It's a woman's wiles. This is what they referred to back in the day as the woman's wiles.
Well, her outfit could not be cleaner, by the way. Like, it was just starched and perfect.
I noticed the same thing. It's like, wow, that just came out of the costume trailer. Yeah,
and
it's
red,
perfect.
You know?
Yes.
Wow. It's like, but here she goes.
Hey, Laura! Laura, aren't you going the wrong way?
Yeah, I have to go back home. I left my slate there.
Well, jump in. I'll give you a ride.
Oh, no. That's too kind. I don't want to be a bother.
No. Come on in. Come on in.
Now, I was playing this just for the music. The music is really good.
Yeah, I love it.
I'm sorry about yesterday.
What happened?
Well, you know, me getting your name wrong and all.
Oh, no. I liked it. Now, from now on, you and only you may call me Manly.
You're joking with me.
I am not. But now I'm gonna have to have a nickname for you. You got one?
Well, sort of. It's silly. My pa gave it to me when I was young.
Oh. What is it?
It's half pint.
Half pint?
Well, I'm too old for a nickname like that now. But I don't want to hurt his feelings. You know how fathers are.
Oh, yeah. Well, I certainly can't call a lovely young woman like you half pint, so I'm just going to have to think of something else. What's your full given name?
Laura Elizabeth Ingalls.
Laura Elizabeth. Well, how does Beth sound?
Beth?
Yeah.
I like it.
All righty, Beth it is.
So she, by the way, in the real world, Almanzo had a sister named Laura as well.
Yes, he did. Yes, he did.
So he created the nickname of Bess to distinguish his wife from his sister. So.
Exactly. Yes. Exactly. Yes. That is. You are correct, Mr. Mark. You are correct, sir.
Can I? So she basically goes and grabs her. Stuff she really didn't need a ride, but she was just really kind of getting a ride.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess there's nothing wrong with a little bit of manipulation.
Yes.
So we get to a scene where, you know, Charles and what's his name? I'm forgetting his name all of a sudden.
Jonathan
are unpacking a huge stone mill wheel.
Yes.
And you said you did a little bit of research on these things that weigh about 900 pounds.
Yes. Yes. Actually, when Jonathan said, oh, I think it weighs about 900 pounds, well, he was just about correct, because the average set, they had to have two of them, the average set of millstones was 1,600 pounds, so 800 pounds a piece.
Wow.
Yeah, just crazy heavy. And I know that you all talked a little bit about how tall Jonathan was, and I just, in doing my research, I kind of got a little curious, and I don't know if you are, and he was very tall. He was 6'5".
Oh, wow.
In real life. And I don't know if you all didn't mention it just because it was an aside from the episode or whatever, but in researching Merlin Olsen just briefly, oh my goodness, what I think it speaks to his acting talent. This man graduated summa cum laude in finance.
Wow, I had no idea.
He was a left tackle for the Los Angeles Rams for 15 years, a professional football player.
That's a given. Look at the guy.
And the thing that's so cool about that, because I mean, I do love my football in the fall, but back when the All-Star game was more prestigious than it is now, he was actually invited to and held this record for years of 14 years in a row. He was invited to the Pro Bowl. 14 out of his 15 years in his football history, he was a part of the Fearsome Four, Deacon Jones, Rosie Greer, and Lamar Lundy. And so he was just, I didn't realize just how huge his football career was. But then, of course, went on to sell flowers for FTD Forest.
Yeah, I remember that. And he had that weird kind of offshoot of Little House.
Yes, Father Murphy.
Yeah,
and that lasted 2 seasons. I didn't even think it lasted 2 seasons, to be honest. I thought it was only a 1 season, wah, wah, wah. But it actually lasted 2 seasons.
Yeah, it felt like a budget Little House.
Exactly. So, big man, 6'5", and at the height of his career, packing 270 pounds.
Yeah, he's a big guy.
Big man, and sadly, we lost him in 2010 to mesothelioma.
Do you know how old he was?
He was 69.
Wow. I mean,
he was 69 years old, and actually, there was a big lawsuit because, of course, mesothelioma is cancer derived from being exposed to asbestos.
Right.
And at one point, NBC and Warner Brothers was included in that lawsuit because there were so many people on the set of Little House that got cancer.
Wow.
Now, eventually, they were dropped. NBC and Warner Brothers were removed from the lawsuit.
Probably because they saw their cigarette budget.
Right.
Because as we know, Michael Landon, yes, who sadly also died from cancer.
Yes.
I'm not sure whether it was lung cancer
pancreatic cancer.
Oh, it was pancreatic cancer.
Yeah.
He was like a massive chain smoker.
Well, he and Victor French both. Victor French passed from lung cancer before Michael Landon. So Victor French went first, and then Michael Landon.
Right.
So, wah, wah, wah. Now that I brought the show down. Okay. But anyway, I just thought his career was just so cool. And he so convincingly, as somebody not being a trained actor, he so convincingly kind of plays that big,
gentle giant. But yes. He's not a dope, though.
Oh, not an extremely intelligent man.
No, I mean, even on the show, like his character, his character is, just a straight shooter. Like he's a nice guy.
Yes.
But, he's a tough guy too. Cause if you recall that episode where he goes after his wife's ex-husband.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. He's about to tear him limb to limb from limb to limb. But
Harold.
So what happens is this 800 to 900 pound wheel basically goes flying and almost crushes Charles because Charles is, I mean, there's a number of issues here. Charles should never have been standing where he was standing.
Right.
Before they even get to this point, the door should have been opened. Yeah, there were a lot of things here that they would be, that tickets would be given.
Yeah. But it's right. But it's another opportunity for Michael Landon to take that shirt off.
Oh my God! It's like it's perfectly tan. It's like, come on, man.
Never broke a leg. It. Nothing. He always breaks those ribs. Always.
Are you sure he never broke a leg?
No. In this one, he broke his arm and he broke his ribs. But I don't ever remember. I know he was limping when they did "The Lord Is My Shepherd," but I think it was because he really had something wrong with his foot in real life. But yeah.
So here, basically, we think he's practically dead for a moment. And here we get the prognosis.
Well, that's hard to say.
Oh, well, I'm skipping over. It's like, how is he, Doc?
He's not going to be doing any milling on this harvest, I can guarantee.
He's stoned, is where we...
And, you know, and there's that. That's that little clip.
He's stoned. He's stoned on medicine.
He is.
Feeling no pain.
Yeah, he was probably on morphine, the same morphine that Albert will discover.
Exactly. And Mrs. Whipple's son.
Oh, that's right. Mrs. Whipple. Whatever happened to her? Mrs.
Whipple's son. I don't know. She probably passed. She was getting up there. Who was that played her son? Richard?
I'm not 100% sure. So here we are in... We're going to go back and forth into different parts of the story, but it's going in line of the episode.
Alrighty.
Here we take a peek into the everyday of Nellie's kitchen.
Another round of scrambled eggs and bacon.
I'm still working on the pancakes.
Oh, the pancakes?
Oh, they're all burned.
Oh, heavens. And I do want to point out that the cookery that they're using, I forget the name of it, but it's right now it's very hard to come by. This cast iron, cookery, because the way they made it was so completely different than the way they make it now.
Right.
Now they use, I believe they use metal presses, while back then they used sand presses.
Right.
So with the sand presses, you get a much, much, much smoother sheen to it. Now, personally, I use Lodge stuff, and a properly seasoned Lodge cast iron pan is just as good. It's just something about this is a little bit slicker. So I will be on the hunt for these pans.
I have cast iron in my kitchen too. Yes, I do.
Last year, I decided to buy an entire set. Like, I went on Amazon. I'm like, you know, it's really not expensive.
No, it's not.
So I bought all this cast iron, and then we also bought a bunch of the Le Creuset sets, which are expensive, but they last forever as well.
Forever.
Yeah, so here we go with these burnt pancakes and holy cow, or flapjacks.
Poor Dan McBride. He always Dan got McBride. The raw deal. Yeah.
He is, yeah, we'll hear how he feels about it.
Yeah, right.
Look at this. Good grief. They're all burned.
Hey, what's this in the sink, Mother?
Oh, how would I know? Here, your pancakes are ready.
I can't serve them. They're all burned.
Oh, well, if you would learn to give me a hand, they wouldn't be burned.
We've been through all that.
God, send someone to marry her. Oh.
Here we are, pancakes. Anything else now?
From the look of these, I could use a poker.
Oh, well, it's an old family recipe. Crisp pancake.
Is your family all blacksmiths?
Oh, well, if you don't want them, don't eat them.
You got a deal.
Good morning, Mrs. Olson.
Oh, it is not.
I'm a scrambled eggs and bacon ready yet.
Coming right up.
You wait right here, Grace.
Poor Grace.
Yeah, was she like, what, two?
Yeah. And is that the most dull knife ever? I mean, they're cutting a bacon slab.
Right.
And they're using the proper knife for the period. But that knife has to be, like, easily one of the dullest knives I've ever seen in my entire life.
Yeah, I thought so, too. Looking at it, I thought, wow, that looks more like a great big gigantic butter knife. And I always wondered when Harriet said that line, God send someone to marry her. Yeah. I wonder, that's one of those lines that I wonder if it was improv.
Yeah, easily it could have been.
Yeah.
Fred.
Over there.
All right.
Oh, it's
come on.
Oh, yeah. It hurts.
All right. Oh. Now here, put that on it. Oh, hold it there.
And you have bacon frying, burning, and...
I don't know what's in that one skillet. It's just black.
Yeah. Actually, would they make bacon in a pan? I don't know. They probably would, actually, because they were using the griddle for the pancakes.
Right.
And they also have the old tea kettle, which I think is really nice.
Uh-huh. I know. I have an old tea kettle. I love that.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I really like this. I have to find one.
Oh, thanks, Caroline.
That's all right. Would you like me to finish the order for you?
Would you?
Certain. Thank you. It's not easy, I know. When I first started cooking at the restaurant in Winoka, I thought I'd go out of my mind. But once you get the hang of it, the shortcuts and so forth, it really isn't so difficult.
Now, do you think she was actually cracking the eggs and opening them with one hand? The close-up and the way this shot is made, it's almost like, I don't know. I mean, it's not the most impossible thing to do.
Well, I do it, and so I assume that it was her, because my parents used to own a catering business, so I know how to
You've crack learned, eggs
with
yeah.
one hand. Yeah, so it's not real. It's not real hard.
It's just the way it's set up, you know.
Right. Yeah, I know what you mean. Why the close-up on the hand? I know what you mean.
Oh, I've forgotten. Well, that dining room was larger than the one we have here.
Twice as big.
Oh, Caroline, I don't suppose you've heard, but we've been looking for a cook.
Yes, I heard. How much?
Let's see. Two eggs and bacon's 15 cents.
No, I mean for the job as cook. How much will you pay?
A dollar a day.
Nope.
A dollar and a half.
$2 a day. Sundays off.
Agreed. When can you start?
Tomorrow.
Oh, Caroline, thanks. Oh, bless you. Nellie!
And so, obviously, they've completely, they're saved, you know, and now that Charles is out of work, that is a completely amazing thing, you would think, right?
Right. You would think so. I love the way that Harriet catches herself, though. It's like once she realizes that Carolyn's interested in the job, a dollar.
She's a business person, you know?
Yeah, I know.
And so Charles, this is Charles basically saying how happy he is about the situation.
Just don't know how you can call that good news. Well, I won't have it. I won't have you working for that woman.
Charles, I won't really be working for her. I'll really be working for Nellie.
Well, aside from a few pounds, what's the difference?
I don't see how it's any different than the job in Winoka.
Well, it is different.
Oh.
It just is.
That's not an answer.
Right in Winoka, you were waiting on strangers. These are our friends, our neighbors, people that we have as guests in our own home. I don't want you serving them and then standing around waiting for tips.
I see. It's not my working hard that you're concerned about. It's your pride.
It's our pride. Are you telling me it wouldn't bother you?
That's exactly what I'm telling you. Somebody once said, there's no reason to be ashamed of any job as long as you do your best.
Now, what idiot said that?
You.
Yeah. She got him good there. And whenever I hear that line,
Charles, only for a little while. And we need the money. Please.
Sorry, whenever you hear that line, you think of...
Yeah, I was saying whenever I hear that line, it astonishes me how much Little House dialogue is in my daily life. I know it's just sick. You said we were sick, and you were right in last episode, because when I'm teaching the women in my class, I will tell them that any job that you can do in this world to make your way in this world, you know, that's not illegal, immoral, or unethical, or whatever, it's a job.
Right.
I'm quoting Pa. Oh, my gosh. I'm so cuckoo.
So he goes for it. He's like, you know, well, I guess I get, you know, what. Where you're going with all of this, and he's not happy about it, but he's gonna go for it.
Right.
So Laura brushes her hair out, which I always think it looks a lot better over pigtails, and surprises Almanzo.
Morning, Miss Wilder.
Morning.
Good morning, Beth.
How are you today?
Real fine. Just got a job over at Miller's Feed and Seed, and I start this morning.
You'll be working right across from school.
Yeah, I'll wave to you at lunch.
Well, I may stay inside and study. I'm going to be a teacher.
Well, that's very commendable. But now, don't forget now, all work and no play.
I know, but all the kids here, they just play children's games. Besides, it's kind of hard to run around when you have such long hair.
Oh, I knew there was something different.
You did?
Yeah, it looks real nice.
Thank you.
You know, there's nothing cuter than a little girl in pigtails. See you, Beth.
Poor Laura.
So, I mean, what is your take on Almanzo flirting, basically, with her throughout this entire time? I think that what he's maybe not flat out flirting, but there's definitely a playfulness there that could be construed as slightly inappropriate. Slightly.
Yeah, well, funny that you asked that, because just as you had your moment as a young man watching Here Come the Brides, I have that moment later in this episode, which I won't, no spoiler alert, I'll sit on it until it comes. But yeah, I mean, I think that was a difficult task. Yeah, I mean, Michael Landon wrote this episode, but it's like these two are eventually going to be married. I think Dean Butler was, I'm wanting to say he was 24 when he, you know, began this being Almanzo. But of course, we know there was a 10-year age difference between the real Laura and Almanzo.
Right.
But I agree with you. There is some intimacy here, especially later on, that's just kind of like, oh, I've always kind of felt like they rushed the intimacy a little bit.
Yeah. So, not, I mean, Laura's definitely taking notice of Almanzo, but she's not the only one.
No, she's not.
No, so let's
Laura see. And Nelly at their competitive best.
Yes.
Willie! You forgot the note, Willie, and your books. Now I want you to make sure that the teacher gets the note this time and take your books.
Yes, ma'am.
And I don't want to hear about you standing in the corner again.
Well, I didn't want you to hear about it last time.
When you just get into school.
Laura, who was that boy you were talking to?
His name's Almanzo. He's Miss Wilder's brother.
Really? He's rather nice looking, isn't he?
I know.
Miss Wilder's brother.
It was very Tim Burton. Not Tim Burton. I'm forgetting the name of the guy who he always uses for music. Danny Elfman.
Yes.
That reminded me a lot of.
Yes. Absolutely. Absolutely. And I guess Harriet's going to be the one that decides what Almanzo's real name is in a few minutes.
Yeah. So this brings us to an invite. I'll leave it at that and play the clip.
Yes.
I'd like to, Mrs. Olson, but I just can't.
Oh, I do wish that you would change your mind, Mr. Wilder, and accept Nellie's invitation. She's a wonderful cook.
I'm sure she is, but I just don't have the time.
All right. If you can't come tomorrow night, how about Sunday night?
Mother, we're not open Sundays.
Hush, dear. Mr. Wilder could have a nice, quiet supper that way. Just the two of you. What is your favorite dish, Mr. Wilder? Oh, that's so formal. May I call you Zaldamo?
Almanzo.
Oh, I'm so sorry. Almanzo. Almanzo, what is your favorite dish?
It's, cinnamon chicken.
Cinnamon chicken. Did you hear that, Nellie? Well, it's only her specialty.
Well,
oh, no, I won't take no for an answer. We will see you Sunday night at 7. See you in church, Zaldamo!
Oh, my gosh.
Yes, yes. I mean, if he's not careful, he's going to be forced to marry her.
Yeah, exactly. Before he knows it, he'll be undressing behind that Chinese screen if Harriet has her way, just like Luke.
Well, here's like part Luke. Of the problem is obviously Nellie cannot cook. So what do you do in this situation? You run to Caroline, right?
Mm-hmm. Caroline, I'm willing to pay you a full day's wages for cooking just one meal.
Mrs. Olson, I do not work on Sunday, and that is fine.
Oh, for heaven's sake. I promised Zaldamo cinnamon chicken.
Well, I'm afraid you'll just have to make it yourself.
Now, when she said Zaldamo, if you look at Melissa Gilbert, I don't know if maybe the character's laughing at her or just her hearing it and how ridiculous it was, and she let out a laugh. I mean, it looks pretty genuine to me.
Yeah, it does to me, too, and Ma does the same thing. She kind of stifles a little giggle there, yeah.
And Ma kind of doesn't even know about Almanzo, so...
Right.
I don't know.
I don't know how!
I can do it, Ma.
Laura, we don't work on the Lord's Day.
Well, it would be the Lord's work, helping out a friend.
We don't get paid for doing the Lord's work, Laura.
Well, I wouldn't want to be paid.
You would? Oh, what a dear child.
A friend doesn't charge another friend for a favor.
Oh, what a wonderful little girl.
Where's her halo?
Oh, Caroline, please let her.
Well, Laura, if you really want to.
I do, Ma. I really do.
Oh, boy. So come Sunday, we see Laura getting ready to go cook this cinnamon chicken. I'm sorry, I'm looking for my next clip.
Which you can get a recipe for that off the internet. If you really want to go Little House Cuckoo and make Almanzo cinnamon chicken, there is a recipe on the internet for Little House cinnamon chicken.
I have the book. I bought the cookbook, but mm-hmm. I've yet to make anything that was in there. Although
yeah, I have that one too.
There was something about ginger beer that I thought looked interesting. Maybe this summer I'll try something. But so Laura basically goes to their cupboard, grabs a spice, and leaves. And we learn that that spice is actually cayenne pepper.
Yeah, and what I always thought was cuckoo about that, it's like, if you're going to rip the label off, why would you leave it right there by the barn? Don't you think Ma or Pa might come across it? It's this bright yellow label.
I don't know. Like, what are the odds, though? It's just a piece of paper.
I just always thought, girlfriend, you should have left that label on there until you got out in the woods someplace and tried it. It's going to find you out.
Was cayenne pepper a pretty common spice in the late 1800s? I'm kind of curious about that.
You know, now that you mention it, I'm curious about that, too. The one thing that I didn't research, but yeah.
Yeah, I'm going to play the clip. I'll do a quick little check on that.
It's almost ready.
Another 5 minutes.
It better be good. It's his favorite.
Oh, he'll be surprised, all right. Just hope I put on enough cinnamon.
We'll add more.
You say so.
There, that ought to do it.
Now, I use cayenne pepper in a million different things. I only put it in my own food, but I do use a decent amount of it, and the hotter the better for me. So I'm just kind of curious how much she put on to make them cough. I mean, what's the believability here as to you would? I mean, I guess if you need to coat it, because cinnamon chicken, I'm going to guess, is coated.
Yes.
Then there would be a little too much cayenne pepper.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. That's what I'm thinking, that she's just got, I'm just envisioning a pile of cayenne pepper on top of that chicken.
Right. So Nellie says, you hide in here and don't come out, and I want to say that I cooked the meal and all that kind of good stuff.
Right.
So Almanzo comes. and Nellie is getting ready to cook. She goes into the kitchen to get the food, and she goes to grab the knob, the handle, without really thinking.
Are you all right?
Yes. Yes, I'm just singing. I always sing in the kitchen. Help me.
And they cut to Almanzo, who's just kind of like yawning and bored, right, and disinterested, mm-hmm, which I think is a little obnoxious.
And wincing at her singing, kind of like, ugh, really?
And you know, I just noticed in the corner, there's a spittoon.
Oh, I never noticed that.
Yeah, it's a little urn, but I would imagine that would be a spittoon.
Huh.
Gross.
I hope you have a good appetite. I made a lot.
Oh, I've got an appetite, all right.
Would you like me to say the blessing?
Certainly.
Thank you, Lord, for this delicious food which you have allowed me to prepare. Ooh, amen.
Oh, man.
Well, my sister's been working late every night, right, creating papers, and so she hasn't had the opportunity to fix me special things like this.
Why do it all the time?
And they go for the water.
Right.
It's more of a visual gag, but they're basically choking on the cayenne.
More water.
Guzzle in that water.
Ugh, all that well water. Very clean well water.
This is my fault. This is my mother's idea. You want me to bring you over to dinner? I am human. I can't cook. Ah! My mother looks more into the cooking. She was here. I swear Laura did the cooking.
It's all right, Nellie. I gotta be going.
And that completes part one.
Yeah, Allison having one of those fits that she was talking about.
That she's so famous for.
Yes.
But she said how cathartic it was at the end, so that's pretty good.
Absolutely. Harriet with a pie in the face. But you know what? I never noticed, and perhaps they showed it in other episodes, but I always wondered in this one, how did Laura get out of that kitchen? Obviously, there must have been a back door, but I don't ever remember seeing it.
Hmm.
She disappeared.
Yeah. So
I think there's a door. I think they show it in one of the other episodes much farther into the series. But in here, they never showed it. She just disappears.
Like I said, she's a sneak.
So. Yes, she is. Sneaky. She's in love.
By the way, cayenne pepper is not just used for food. It was also used for medicine.
I was going to say medicinally, yeah. Okay, makes sense.
The capsaicin, I guess, kind of helped something. So, thank you very much for listening to this podcast. If you like this podcast, please subscribe. Warnock Grovecast, go to iTunes, and I don't know, leave a review if you really want. And yeah, next episode, we'll do part two.
Part two, here we come.